CEO.ca podcasts. I'm joined on the line now with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Kip. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Thanks for joining. Look, first thing I wanted to hear about was the meeting last night, the TSX Venture Town Hall meeting led by John McCoach, the president of the Venture Exchange. Some have described the meeting as raucous and rowdy, and wondering, some people have wondered, you know, did anything good come out of it, or was it just a mob of angry white men getting angry at the TSX Venture? What's your view? How was the meeting last night?
One problem I think they had, the venue was too small. There was, it held 300 people and it was standing room only, kind of hot and stuffy. And the other thing is they changed the venue with very little prior notice. I went on the website, Wednesday afternoon, to find out what time it was, and it was still listed at 2 p.m. at Robson Square. And just on the street yesterday, around noon, I learned that they had changed the venue to the Pan Pacific. So
added to a little bit of the frustration on display, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, we walked in a bit late because of that, but it was what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I got to give credit to McCoach for getting up there and maintaining his cool in front of what was obviously, I thought, was an angry crowd.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, it really was just a regurgitation of the white paper they published 6 weeks ago, which a lot of us in the business think, although it was a start, was pretty much a whitewash. You know, we could go bit by bit through it if you want some of the main points. But,
well, you know, I mean, there's, you know, some, I guess some people are sort of, you know, Don Mosier would say, or others would say as well, that there's only so much the venture can do itself. You know, a lot of the issues are beyond that. You know, IROC and regulators. You tend to agree with that viewpoint that, you know, there's only so much the venture exchange itself can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of the problems with the junior markets in Canada right now can be laid directly at the feet of both IROC and then, you know, I'm an American, so we're used to one regulatory agency, the SEC, and I think the disparate organizations, every province with its own securities commission with different rules is a problem in Canada.
Yeah, it's still hard.
That said, you know, the things that the venture exchange can do, some of them they seem unwilling to do.
Right. What would you say are the key issues there?
Well, I think there's really three or four main issues. They want to cut costs for companies, but they are unwilling to cut their fees.
Mm-hmm.
They are expanding. They're trying to expand their bureaucracy by hiring more people. So, you know, I think personally there needs to be an independent stock exchange that is not a publicly traded company listed on its own exchange.
Yeah.
That's a conflict of interest. I think they need to do away with short selling, or if not completely do away with short selling, reinstate the uptick rule and ban naked shorts.
Yep.
I think that they should follow their own ironclad regulations and delist the zombie miners to the purgatory that they call the next, but they've got all these rules for listing that they don't follow. You know, with 600 zombie miners last year, it looks like there's going to be about that many this year, despite the fact that they have delisted around a bit more than 100 companies. Now, that does not include all zombies. You know, a delisting is a company that graduates to the next or gets taken over by, in a merger and acquisition or goes private. That counts as a delisting. They got some good ideas. They want to ease the rules for the U.S. investors, but they don't really propose how to do that. And then one of the main concerns with me is they want to expand the listings versus
Tightening.
Get rid of some of the bad miners. So they want more companies. And you got to wonder, McCoach said that the average cost in fees for a company is $7,500. Multiply that by 2,000 companies listed on the venture, that adds up to $15 million. So in some ways, they are driven by their cash flow and the need to contribute to the profits of the publicly listed company TMX Money. So, those are some of the key points that most people are interested in.
Yep.
There may be a couple that I didn't cover because I'm an investor.
Yep.
I don't run public companies.
Yeah, sorry, and that was 75,000 in fees, that's what you said?
$7,500 per company in fees. So if you multiply that by 2,000 companies, that gives a cash flow of $15 million or revenues of $15 million.
Yeah. So do you think, despite the sort of the angry voices and so forth, was the meeting a good thing? You know, does it, do you think it has any impact or not?
Well, I hope so. You know, I give them credit for,
yeah.
We've been pounding on them, a group of us. You mentioned Don Mosier. I would also include Tony Simon, John Kaiser,
yeah.
Rick Rule. We've all been talking about this for quite some time. So at least we're getting their attention, and they're starting to open a dialogue. And I personally hope that continues and we see some real progress and revitalizing, revamping, reconstituting the Toronto Venture Exchange. Because my fear is if they do not do that, it's going to wither and die. We saw that happen in the U.S. Small exchanges, and back in the day when I first got into business, there was a Salt Lake City Exchange, there was a Spokane Exchange, and they just basically went away. And we need venture capital markets. We don't really have a viable venture capital, small cap, micro cap venture capital market in the U.S. The OTCBB is just peppered with scams and fraud, and
yeah, it's
and
definitely a crapshoot, that's for sure.
Up here as Americans, and I hope we continue to have that option.
Yes, well, sort of, it's hard to imagine things moving too quickly with all the issues there are and all the organizations that need to get together to make any concerted reform. It would be difficult to imagine things even happening in a year or two's time. Maybe they'll be ready for the next bear market, so even after the next bull market.
Part of the problems now are the deep bull market for mining and exploration stocks, but that's cyclical, as we know. It comes and it goes. I've been through the mother of all bear markets, which I still consider post-Briex from 97 to 03. This is not nearly as deep. We still have many good companies.
Yep.
I was at the Cambridge House this past week. There was somewhere 150 plus companies, and I walked around the floor there at the end of the second day finally, and I go, wow, I can't, there are really no bad companies here. These companies all have good projects, they all have legitimate leadership, and they're trying to make money for their shareholders. So I think we just need to reduce the number of bad companies and kind of clean house and start over again. And hopefully that's under the guise of the Toronto Venture Exchange.
Yeah, agreed. Well, on that note, let's shift gears and talk a little bit about your view of the market, the companies you're seeing, what you're liking out there, what your outlook is. Maybe start with what was the vibe like, and kind of how are you seeing the direction the market is taking now? It certainly looks like There's been some stability in the gold price recently, a bit of a move up, and I would say some guarded optimism, in particular in that space and some others. Good time to be
Well, I would
good time to be
agree.
picking.
I predicted, I wrote a piece about 2 or 3 weeks ago called The 20-Year Record for Gold, and we showed unequivocally in bear and bull markets that the price of gold goes up in January. We've seen that. It looks to me like oil bottomed last week at $26 and change. This morning, Friday the 29th, it's I'm looking at my KCAS now, 3369. Here's a pretty amazing thing, Kip. I track 13 different commodities, markets, and currencies on my KCAS ticker. Every one of them's green this morning, and that makes me feel good. Hopefully the bottom is in. Copper's now 206. Still, the marginal cost above the marginal cost operation worldwide is still above that. So at some point, low prices are the cure for low prices. This commodities decline is part of a cyclical boom bust cycle that we go through time and time again. So I'm encouraged. There are good companies. I'm looking. I am a long-term, mid to long-term bull on uranium. I already mentioned copper. I'm looking for the right copper company. I think I found it, but the timing's just not right
Okay, so you're
yet.
waiting on its share price or the copper market in general just to see how things shake out in China?
Company is not ready to move up, let's say,
Gotcha.
and that's a combination of what's going on internally within the company and also with the price of copper. But I'm always looking for copper. I have been quite bearish on the price of gold, other than this sort of seasonal thing we've been doing. I don't really see catalysts that will tend to drive gold much higher, but I've said this before. If you can't make money at 1,000 or 1,100 gold, let's say 1,100 gold, then you don't need to be in the gold mining, in the gold business. So we see gold companies trimming their sails and getting back to the idea of margin and not growth for growth's sake. In other words, gold miners should be miners, I think, all around. They're value companies, not growth companies.
And
So,
they've certainly caught a little bit of a lucky break with the weakness in currencies in, say, Canada or Australia. That certainly has helped out.
that's helped, and energy costs have helped. So hopefully they get their houses in order. I think it's going to be a while before we're going to see a broad rise of commodity prices. Is 6% growth in China bad? I don't think so. It still is. It's got four times the population of the U.S., and it equals a big economy. So,
And in terms of metals, certainly their demand is obviously growing on a much larger base now, and that requires quite a bit more supply than might meet the eye.
there's 85 million more people on the planet every year. That's some darn almost 225,000 people a day. The world population grows, and so you look at, for instance, copper consumption per capita continues to go up. So if you put 85 million more people using 3 kilograms of copper a day, that's growth. And we saw growth in the copper industry last year. It just wasn't as boisterous as it usually is, but we're still looking at 3% year-over-year growth in copper demand. So where's that copper going to come from? We're not finding enough copper, and the juniors are the ones that go out and find the deposits that are then bought up and put in production
Are
by the
you
majors. So all in all, I may be an famous because I am an exploration geologist by education and experience. So I tend to try to look at the glass half full.
Are you, well, in that sense, are you picking up any new companies in terms of your own investments, or are you holding off for now?
I'm not real active in the market now. Generally, what I'm doing is when I can take profits, yep. I will take those profits and then deploy that cash into something else that's intrigued me. I'm trying to be disciplined right now and not take money from outside my brokerage accounts and putting it into it, trying to be disciplined in that order because, you know, we are in a bear market and it certainly is not going to end soon.
Well, then let's leave it at that with one more question just to ask you. What would you say to kind of investors entering the market now, looking at companies? How should they approach it?
Well, if you have capital to deploy, this is a very good time to get in. I think you need to be very selective and do lots of research and due diligence and make sure you know why you want to own this company that you think will go up, which is the only reason ever to buy a stock. And, you know, I would encourage people to consult some of the experts, the newsletter writers, the analysts, gather a variety of opinions before treading into this market because it is and always has been and always will be pure speculation. If you go do proper research and due diligence, it's like it's gambling, but you can skew the odds in your favor, and that's what you want to do.
Well, on that note, I want to say thanks for joining us today, Mickey.
It's been my pleasure, Kip. Good to talk to you again.
All right, goodbye.